With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, it is the 98.5 KTK Morning Show recap, the final one of the week, Friday, June 14th.
Oh, we went out with a bang today. This was great. We're on the Father's Day weekend coming up. Mm-hmm. Wow.
A lot of things going on. We found out this morning on the show, if you use the word we when describing your relationship with your significant other, you are in it for the long haul.
You can almost do a self-assessment of how's this relationship going? Am I saying we do this, or am I still using the personal pronoun I and then you?
Yeah, and you know, you don't realize you're doing it. So this is kind of, it's ruining it for you, but try it on your significant other. They refer to things where they are using, avoidant attachment style pronouns such as I and you.
Avoidant attachment. That's my new favorite word.
Yeah,
phrase.
Instead of we, us, or are, it probably means they got a bag packed eventually and they will leave you.
Well, they might not. Not everybody wants to get that close.
It's very, very true. So they do say that people are generally unaware of these pronouns when they use, but noticing that will actually give you a little bit of an insight to see how they might behave and interact in relationships.
Let me say, this is our show and we love each other.
That's right.
How's that?
I know. We do. I was joking because I always hear people say that when they're servers in restaurants. Like, hi, folks. How are we doing today? What are we going to have for dinner? And I'm just like, we aren't having anything unless you're paying half the tab. Then you can sit down and enjoy it with me.
Yeah. The old line is, what, do you got a mouse in your pocket?
Yeah.
It's true.
You and a mouse, huh?
I would like this, please.
We found out that Instagram model seems to be growing and going beyond the social media realm. Apparently, Netflix is looking at using something along the same lines as Instagram.
You know, when I first heard this, I thought, that's kind of dumb, but I think it's for the mobile device.
Yeah. And it's for the app.
I think it's a great idea because it's such a smaller screen.
Well, and it also adds the extras into it, such as the trailers, photos, and alerts about particular shows or for programs you like. So it is kind of like Instagram-y. They're doing it a little test a test area right now. They say, now this may not even turn out to be anything, but you know, you might give you reason. I can't remember the last time I watched Netflix on my phone.
Yeah, I'm trying to think, but
it's been a while. If I'm traveling and I don't get free Wi-Fi in a hotel room or something, or I might just use my service.
The DMV.
Yeah. You know, but you know what? It's funny you mention that when you're traveling. A lot of like the big perk now for hotels is for you to to have a smart TV where you can access your own
Netflix account.
Yes.
Right.
That's awesome.
I think I've seen that before. And, you know, if you're at an airport, it's not going to take off on time.
No.
Get Netflix on your phone.
If you get the first flight of the day, it does.
Yeah, that's true.
It's the only one that's guaranteed to leave on time.
That is true. Chris,
well, and also, too, like a lot of the internet you have to pay for once you're on the flight. And so sometimes with Netflix, I'll download, because Netflix has it so you can actually download shows beforehand. Mm-hmm. So I'll download movies and shows that I normally watch on my phone so that I don't need Wi-Fi to watch them, and then I can watch them on the plane.
Smart gal.
Yeah, I've done that many a times.
This
is a kind of an interesting study here about meditation versus vacation. And what they found was, after this very extensive test, that if you meditate just 15 minutes a day, it is the equivalent of well-being for your mental and physical self as a full day of vacation.
And this is one of those tests where they actually were drawing blood from the participants. They had three different control groups. They had three different groups that were studying. This is a pretty big test right here.
Yeah, what they used were three groups. One of them were, they were women who had used meditation. It's part of their normal routine.
Right.
So that's the control group, I guess. And then they had the remaining two groups. One of the groups, they said, that had never done meditation. None of them had them, but they enrolled them into a week-long course veterans.
At like a spa. They were at vacation anyway.
Right.
Yeah.
And then the third one, because they were at a spa, were just on vacation. Mm-hmm. And what they found was, after they did the test, and they did blood work and did follow-up interviews immediately afterwards, weeks afterwards, months, and even years.
10 months later, yeah.
Yeah, they found that those who never had meditated before but did it during this 1 week actually
they had fewer symptoms of depression, stress than the non-meditating period. So something's going on there. And what they're calling it is a change in post-vacation biology. Mm-hmm. That's pretty heavy right there.
Well, you know, when you come back from vacation, you do feel depressed. It's over. You've been planning it for weeks, even maybe a whole year.
Yeah.
And when you're back and you're broke, it's like, it's depressing.
Yeah. And that's why you need to take a couple extra days off just to get over that. But
I'm so bummed
it is.
Out.
Vacation's like an immediate release, you know? And then when you have the meditation, at least you're learning how to change the state of mind so that you can elevate yourself out of that funk.
You know, the meditation was great till I got the credit card bill.
Yeah. But you know, it's not just like meditation. I mean, I think it's just like being in a room where it's quiet and just thinking for yourself, because that's what meditation is. You just kind of open, you think. And so
you go inward, yeah.
Yeah, so I try it out. I mean, it's not, you know, you don't have to have a whole setup. Just close the door and just be quiet when the kids are knocking on it and looking for you.
And lower lower your blood pressure, your heart rate, improve your digestion, and it'll cure freckles.
Well, you need that because apparently we're ingesting quite a lot of plastic. There's been a lot of talk lately about the big trash patch that are floating not only in the Pacific, but it seems like every ocean we have. And locally, Gainesville, the city, later on this year, will be banning single-use plastic bags.
You know, they found one in the Caribbean and in the Atlantic Ocean and in the Indian Ocean. So all the oceans, because of the currents, are gathering all that plastic in one big island.
And here's the thing, is we're finding out plastic never really goes away. It gets smaller and smaller and smaller. And so this is where it comes into us. Apparently, on average, we ingest about 50,000 pieces of plastic a year.
Wow.
That's about 126 to 142 tiny pieces every single day.
That's about a credit card's worth of plastic you're eating or inhaling every day.
And that's the thing. That's in addition to the plastic that you're inhaling, that it's so small it's floating in the air.
How disturbing is that?
Yeah,
it really is. I mean, when we first talked about this on the air, I was like, I genuinely kind of got a little sick to my stomach thinking about it.
Yeah.
And if you're drinking from a plastic water bottle right now, every sip, you're getting little pieces of plastic in.
Mm-hmm. And here is what is alarming, is if that's not alarming enough, they say the true numbers may actually be higher because they only looked at a small bit of food products that we have, but didn't even look at all the utensils and stuff that we use.
I'm afraid, man.
What they have said, this actually came from the American Chemical Society, is that plastics in your body actually trigger immune reactions or release toxins. Yeah. Basically, it's messing with your immune system, and that's probably where we're getting these very strange conditions.
And the scary part is it's getting in the molecular level. They don't know how it's going to affect DNA because it's now inside your cells.
Yeah, it can affect your growth rate. It can affect your reproductive capabilities. So why we bring all this up here is that, you know, it's very hard to escape it. Somebody had brought us breakfast this morning, and we're kind of chuckling as we were doing the story live.
Yeah.
I'm sitting here looking. I had breakfast on a plastic plate
with a
plastic fork, drinking from a plastic cup.
You know, we do have, and what we should have done is our one thing today, it should have been we have real cutlery in the kitchen. We should have used the real forks. It's in the drawer.
I would be leery of that in
the
community break room. I'd have to at least wash it all again myself before using it.
All right, Chris, if it's not in the drawer, guess where it is?
Dishwasher.
Yeah.
Okay.
The unrun dishwasher.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know how long it's been sitting there.
It's just like home, Chris.
It is just like home, isn't it? So what they do is they talk about, you know, slowly cutting things out as hard as it is.
Yeah.
And believe me, I know, because we went to reusable bags about 2 years ago.
Sure.
And it actually works out better. I like it. Hey, you don't get those little slivers in your hands type thing when you're carrying the plastic bags.
Right.
I don't know. I kind of like it better. And we've slowly phased out plastic utensils and straws and anything that you possibly can, just so that it's not so available. And it's going to take a long time for industry to go back to the ways. Like for straws. Straws used to be made of paper.
Yeah, exactly. When I was growing up, they even had flavored straws, you know, where you could suck them through milk and get chocolate or strawberry.
Yeah. So
that back.
It's not like it's a new thing. It's just it takes time for machineries and stuff to change, but just a very alarming report that we want to pass along to you.
We all can do one thing. That's our one thing initiative here at KTK. Just figure one thing, like I'm not going to use straws. Get in the habit of asking for no straws.
Here's one thing I will not be doing, standing in a 10-hour wait line to ride Hagrid's Magical Creature Motorbike at Universal.
you don't want to wait 600. When I looked the other day at the app, it said 600-minute wait.
No.
No.
Okay. What is that? I had to do
this
calculation.
And for those of you who don't know, this is the new roller coaster that just opened in Orlando.
It looks great, by the way.
Everybody wants to be on a 10-hour rate, and it's a 3-minute ride.
It is, but it's one of those rides where it's still a roller coaster, which I appreciate because they got rid of the Dueling Dragons at Universal, so it's still that. But it kind of is one of those hybrids where it's virtual versus reality, and it looks great. I cannot wait to go on it in probably 3 or 4 months when the lines are down.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Can I give you an analogy?
Uh-huh.
10-hour rate or 10-hour wait for a 3-minute ride. It's like a honeymoon.
Yeah, just like honeymoon.
Thank you.
But when you're standing in line, because even I would say even in 4 months or 8 months or a year from now, you're going to be standing in line for this one here. So we have some Harry Potter fodder for you.
Here we go.
Which is interesting because even after 12 years after J.K. Finished the Harry Potter novel series, people are still looking for little gems of nuggets of information. And even J.K. had said this, that the colors of Hogwarts is really kind of has an association with the four elements on our planet, which would be earth, air, water, and fire.
So the four different houses, just like a college football team,
yep,
have colors.
Yep.
Right?
So Gryffindor, which is the one Harry is involved with, that is red and gold. That symbolizes our connection with fire. Slytherin, which is green and silver, symbolizes water. Hufflepuff, which is yellow and black, is connected to earth.
Right.
And Ravenclaw, which is blue and bronze, associated with the sky. So there is a little bit of that kind of knowledge there.
Right.
But this is where it gets kind of funny, because there are people that have a little too much time on their hands, probably standing in line for rides. there's a fan that dug a little bit deeper into how this actually could how J.K. used this for foreshadowing. Now, think of it like this: gold, silver, and bronze when you're talking about medals.
Just like the Olympics.
All right, so Gryffindor is gold because it got the gold
right,
in it.
Number one.
You got silver, which would be Slytherin. They've got that.
But they're evil.
And then Ravenclaw, which has bronze and blues into it. So think of it that way. Apparently, back in when the Sorcerer's Stone, when Dumbledore adjusts the house points, Gryffindor came out on top with 482 points, Slytherin in second place at 472, and third place was Hufflepuff at 426. It's interesting how that played out. Gold.
It is. It's all very silver. Intertwined. The amount of detail that J.K. Rowling pays attention to is way more intricate than you even know when you first start reading the books. And I had to think back to Dumbledore even doing the point system. I had forgotten about that because it's been so long since I read it.
So yeah. There's Easter eggs all through this.
All through it.
And not even that. When we go to Universal, one of the coolest things I ever remember what they told us there is that J.K. herself was at the theme park and she was supervising everything.
Really?
Yeah, they wouldn't be allowed to do anything without her approval first. Even down to the stained glass designs on the queues and the line.
Wow.
Yeah, the grooves on the floor and the asphalt.
Are you serious?
That's all making sure it is authentic. And being that I actually went to the lot in London where they filmed Harry Potter.
Oh, really? Cool.
And they had the exact same setup as Diagon Alley. It is spot on.
No wonder it's
crazy.
I don't know how much the whole Harry Potter ride costs, but just this new ride cost $300 million.
Sure.
Imagine that, $300 million for Hagrid's Magical Creatures Motorbike Adventure.
Yeah, so there you go. It is open. What Dad really wants for Father's Day, of course, keep this in mind for maybe next Father's Day because it is coming up on Sunday, but there was a survey that came out and said Dad's most widely desired item for Father's Day is a simple phone call from you.
Just drop a dime.
47% of dads said that's what they want the most for Father's Day, followed up by a big, juicy steak that came in second place with 41% of dads saying that'd be great. 38% of dads want a little peace and quiet around the house, and an additional 38% of dads would like to take the whole family out to the ball game.
And all of them want you to stay off their lawn.
That's so true.
And as with jokes, a dad joke just like that, the cheesy traditional gifts that dads love, like ties and socks, were desired by 35% of participants. 35% of dads said they would enjoy a nice cold beer.
You know, you can wrap a beer in a nice new sock for dad.
You could.
There you go.
And then 29, this is what I thought was interesting, 29% of dads would think like a physical expensive gift, like an Apple Watch or something like that would be a very nice Father's Day gift. But the most precious gifts for dads, just like with moms, is your time.
That's true. That's right.
Yeah, no, I do agree.
Not available in stores.
Yeah, and there's very limited time to that. So
hey,
use
look
it wisely.
Here. We're all out of time, Chris.
We are. So that's our show for today, Friday, June 14th. Of course, we're live Monday through Friday between 5 and 10 on 98.5 KTK and on the radio.com app.
ABC, yeah.
Bye. Have a great weekend.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.